Welcome to Guided Legacy. I'm Dion Duckett. One of the greatest gifts we can give our loved ones is preparation. Yet many families delay important financial conversations until illness, disability, retirement, or an unexpected crisis forces difficult decisions. Today's guest is Floyd Gant, financial advisor with Edward Jones Investments. For nearly two decades, Floyd has helped individuals and families prepare for the future through thoughtful planning, through thoughtful financial planning, retirement strategies, and long-term wealth management. Together, we'll explore how financial readiness can help families reduce uncertainty, create peace of mind, and protect what matters most. Floyd, welcome to Guided Legacy.
Thank you, Dion. I look forward to discussing these matters. As we know, we have been in the business a long time, and these matters are very important. So I look forward to discussing financial matters and estate planning.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to it. So as we begin, I encourage everyone watching to ask themselves, if something unexpected happened tomorrow, would my family know what to do financially? In this first segment, we're going to discuss why proactive financial planning is one of the most important forms of family protection. So, Floyd, when families wait until a crisis happens before organizing their finances, what problems do you see most often?
Great question, Dion. When you think about families, you think about a crisis, a lot of times we wait too long to invest. The period of time that it takes as far as saving money, we think about the average for a man to invest starting at age 36. Women start a lot earlier, but a lot of times the period of time to invest, things compound, you want to start as early as possible. And that's the first thing you want to do. Take advantage of your 401k plan at work. Take advantage of what we call a match. When you work for a company, one of the first things you want to ask them is, how much do you match? Typically companies match up to 6%. On average, you're talking about 4%. So I tell all my clients, at least take out 10%. 10%. The Lord says give 10% to the church. You should give 10% to yourself also. So that's important. There was an article, I believe in Vanguard a while back, that said if you start off at the age of 23 or early in your life and you start putting money up at least doing 10%, and we consider you're going to have pay increases, you'll be a millionaire by the time you're in your 50s because of compounding. That means you need to start early, people. We need to have money on the side and start early, looking at our life, meeting with a financial planner, looking at how does our retirement look as we move forward. Not only that, we want to make sure we safen up the particular situation. Not only looking at the 401k and looking at a Roth IRA, I know, Dion, you will profess that you need to get with you and look at estate planning, right? Will or trust, and also life insurance. So they all kind of, you're never too young to start. And I see a lot of the problems is people wait too long.
Yeah, I'd agree there. My dad used to get me in the car when I was 20 and ask me how much he thought I needed to retire. And I was just like, Dad, you know, I'm not finished college yet. So now 60 has come fast. So Floyd, how should people begin thinking about financial planning as a form of protection for the people they love?
Yeah, great question. You know, I think about my times. Just give you a little bit of background about myself. I did my undergrad at Fort Valley University in mathematics. I did Clark Atlanta, did my Master of Business in Finance. And I also received another degree in accounting taxation from the University of Harvard. And you would think I would know all about finance, right? I should start early. I should do those things. But they really don't teach you those things in school. That's why it's important for you to reach out to particular people, especially if you're not getting the guidance that you should have within the financial arena. So when I think about investing and you look at what you should be doing, there's a few basic steps I want you to write down that you should be doing as you move forward. And these are the steps I would say that you need to go about as you think about putting money aside. The first thing is your employer. When you work with that employer, I talked about a match, and that's what I call free money. So when you think about it, number one on your paper, I want you to write down 401k. I want you to write down match, and I want you to put free money. That's your free money that you need to be receiving and you need to be at least doing a match. You don't go do anything unless you do that match. If they're matching a certain percentage, you need to take advantage of that. As I said before, the minimum I want you to do is at least 6%, because usually about 90% of companies don't match over 6%. So you need to at least do 6%. Even if you think the match is only 3, I want you to do at least 6. Your goal is 10, but I want you to at least do 6. Now, those who are able to do the match in 401k, then you need to move on to what we call a Roth, ROTH IRA. Now, sometimes your 401k may have a Roth, but I want you to do an individual Roth where you can have a lot more investments in that individual Roth than your 401k, and a lot more advantages where you can take money out if you need it. The Roth is after-tax money, after tax. That's so that money's already been taxed, federal and state, and you paid off, and you paid your medical and so on in the company. And it's the after-tax money that grows tax-free. So in your Roth, if you're under 50, you can put up to 7,500. You can invest in anything you want to, so that's important. And if you're 50 and older, you can put up to 8,600. This is vital. Could you imagine if you started at an early age putting money into your Roth, and then at the age of 50 and 60, you have all that tax-free money? And these are the rules. A Roth has to be open for 5 years, 5 years, people, and you need to be 59 and a half. 59 and a half. So when I reach 59 and a half and my Roth has been open for 5 years and I put in the money and that money has grown, I can take all that money out tax-free and not pay any taxes. That is beautiful. So those are the two things for people that work for employers. Usually I tell people one and two, one and two. You want to take advantage of your 401k. And if you can do the Roth, depending on how much you bring home, modified adjusted gross income, then you want to take advantage of that Roth IRA.
Okay. So what are the key conversations, Floyd, that you think families should be having before retirement illness or unexpected life changes force decisions?
Okay, so what is, say it again, Dion, I'm sorry.
So what are some of the key conversations that that you think families, we talked to, you talked about the planning that they need to do. At a basic minimum, but so what are some of the key conversations that you think families should be having before retirement illness or unexpected life changes force decisions?
Thank you for that. Again, we want to make sure you're putting up the money that we talked about, 401k, Roth IRA. You want to know how much you're going to have during retirement. As you get closer to retirement, you want to have that conversation of when do I retire, how much money I will start receiving each particular year, and can I live off that? So you need to know your expenses. That is vital. So if you think about that, know your expenses. Then you want to understand Social Security. When should I take that Social Security? When should I take that Social Security? Should I take it at 62, which is early? You have a 35% discount. Or can I wait to 67? That's a big picture, which we call full Social Security. And then your other picture, do you have a pension out there? Did you work as a federal employee, or do you have any other monies coming in? You want to add all that money up to make sure you have enough money during retirement. That is vital. And then the last piece I would tell you is where you come in, Dion. Outside of life insurance, you want to look at estate planning, right? You want to make sure you have certain things in place, just in case, to kind of protect everything if something was to happen to you. So those are the things that we talk about as you get closer to retirement. Making sure you have enough to live off of, okay? Making sure that when do you want to take social, if you paid in social, when should you be taking that? Those are expenses, because we want to maximize that. Is your life insurance in place if something was to happen to you in the meantime? And the last part is your estate. Do you have your estate affairs in place?
Okay, and then following up on what you said about estate planning, so how do you think financial planning works alongside estate planning to create more clarity and peace of mind?
Yeah, a lot of times, Dion, great question. I work with clients and we have non-qualified and qualified money. So we think about non-qualified guys, that's money that's outside of an IRA and Roth. If you're qualified, that's money in a retirement account. Non-qualified is money outside of a retirement account. Usually, when people have a lot of money outside of a retirement account, I usually ask them to look at a trust. And this is your wheelhouse, of course, Dion. But a lot of times we look at revocable trust at a minimum, because if you have a lot of money in that non-qualified, the first thing you need to have is, and especially at a bank, you need to have what we call a POD, payable upon death, or a TOD, transfer on death, of what you had a brokerage firm. I mean, if something was to happen to you, then it can go to that particular party you want to. But if you have a sizable amount, you may have other things that you want. You may want to keep it out of probate, other stuff like houses and things. So we want to make sure everything's in order, not just what we have at our financial place. So here, we want to make sure everything has a beneficiary. We want to make sure everything is set to the people you want to go to. And then we partner with people like you, Dion, a lot of times, especially when they have a large amount of non-qualified money in a sense, and they may have certain things, maybe a special needs child. Maybe they have a certain criteria they want with their money. And that's when we want to make sure that we reach out to a person like you for that particular advice.
All right. And so before we take a break, I have one question, one last question. What is one step families can take today to feel less overwhelmed and more prepared for the future?
Great question. I've done a lot of seminars this year, and the market is changing constantly. Artificial intelligence, things are happening. We have a new tax bill that has a lot of credits and different things, and really, to me, puts money back into a lot of people's pockets. So I really did advise people this year to make sure you stay invested. I do think the market could slow down at the end of this year. We have a war going on in Iran. We have different things happening. But you can't let that bother you. I want you to look at it from the long run perspective. This is a journey, people. The market is changing constantly. I believe companies are going to be making a lot of money. So if you look at it for the next 3 to 5 years, we're changing every day, whether it's artificial intelligence and what companies are receiving and their ability to quickly lower their labor force and increase their profits. You need to be a part of that. And I would stress that you need to be investing. You need to be thinking about the future. Don't let the little things slow you down from putting money into your 401k plan, Roth IRAs. Think about the future at all times. I think we do have a great horizon in the next 5 years as far as investing, but you need to be a part of it. And that starts with your 401k. Then it will start with your Roth. And then after that, you should look at individual investments like stocks and ETFs that you can put in through your non-qualified account. But please be a part of your Save for Retirement, because we don't want money sitting in a regular bank account making 0.5, 0.9. You have to take advantage of this market, and you have to think about your future.
Okay, well, thank you. So, but as we know, planning ahead doesn't eliminate life's challenges, but it can help families face those challenges with confidence, clarity, and less stress. And we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we'll discuss retirement and what it truly means to prepare for the next chapter of life. I'm back with Floyd Gant. Retirement is one of life's most significant transitions, yet many people approach it with uncertainty, wondering if they've saved enough, planned enough, or prepared adequately for the years ahead. So, Floyd, after nearly 2 decades as a financial advisor, what do you believe people misunderstand most about preparing for retirement?
Great question, Dion. We need to start this off early when we think about retirement. But I want to give you five things that I think are important. Let me say five things. I'm actually going to make it four on top of four things that I think are important when we think about retirement. When I talk to my clients. It's called your income stream. We have to understand how it works. So, number one is Social Security. That is an immediate annuity, which, based on your top 35 years of your highest pay, you have to work at least 10 years, have 40 credits, and you'll receive a check for the rest of your life. That caps off at around $185,000, but depending on how much you made, you receive a monthly check for the rest of your life. The earliest you can start it now is at 62, but the age of full retirement for social, where you can start to get the full social, is at 67. 67. Now you can wait to 70, but I always advise people 67. Let's take it at 67 if we can. You can still make as much as you want to. You want to be careful taking it early because you only can make a certain amount, and then for every $2 you go over that amount, you got to pay a dollar back. And I believe at this time it's approximately around 26,000. So you want to be careful taking out social early. Number two, you think about a pension. Pensions have went away. That is a defined benefit that if you work so many years, they're going to take you as high as 2 to 3 years and give you a certain percentage for the rest of your life as far as your salary is concerned. In Georgia, usually after working 30 years as an educator, you're going to receive around 60% of your highest 2 to 3 years. Those have went away, but if you have a pension, you're one of the lucky ones, but that's also an income stream, all right? So that's number two, think about an income stream. Number three is investments. That's where a person like myself comes in. For every $100,000 you save, I tell a client I can send you $416 back. That's 5%. You don't really want to go with 5%. 4% is even better. But what I tell clients is we keep a moderate portfolio for all our life. Hopefully, we average around 6 to 8. So if you're only taking out 5, that portfolio really should be there for the rest of your life. 4 is better, but if you have to, I don't want you going over 5. Okay. That's three things that we look at as far as income. And the fourth thing, if you have a business or you have things you may do on the side, I may have another job, that's your other revenue. What will you be doing during retirement? Can you sell a business? Can you live off a business? Can you do other things in life that can make money? I want you to add all those things up together when you retire and then minus your expenses. And can you live life comfortable? Because I haven't met one person, Dion, that wants to take a break and don't want to travel just because they got older.
Okay. So how can someone know whether they are financially ready to retire or whether they simply hope they are ready?
Yeah, really, you need to get with someone and talk about financial planning. That's the big piece of it. But if you're looking at what you're doing, think about these expenses that you have. Are you going to pay off your house during retirement? Because that's going to be a big expense. Cars, I'm less worried about, but look at your big expenses and how will your life change. Many times that when we retire, our pay goes down. So we need to look at those factors that I talked about, 1 through 4, and try to add those up to see you have enough, because inflation is real. It's where things, cost gets more expensive if you go. So it's important for you to kind of dissect that and look at your current expenses and start to pay those things off, such as credit cards. Mortgage would be great when you retire to kind of pay off your mortgage if you can. So those are some of the things that maybe you can decrease your expenses as you get ready to retire so you can start to pay and live a comfortable life.
All right. So what role does income planning play in helping retirees avoid fear, guesswork, or rush decisions?
Yeah, that's vital. As we talked about, Dion, you think about that. You should be budgeting. You should have a spend spreadsheet. They have programs out there that you can look at that you can use for budgeting. And I do recommend that people look at certain programs out there for budgeting. But at the minimum you should have is a sales spreadsheet or some kind of spreadsheet where you write down everything that you're paying for on a monthly basis. So you understand your expense. You understand how much is going out and how much is coming in. That is vital because when you do retire, what will disappear? What will not be there? And it's important for you to understand that. And that starts from the beginning. It starts at age 20. It starts at age 30. Understanding your budget, having a budget for vacation, having a budget for certain trips and certain things that you want to buy, that is vital. The more we can understand our P&L, profit and loss, understand our budget and as far as income minus expenses, the better we are going to be during retirement. And then doing the things we talk about, a minimum of 10% of your 401k plan, doing your Roth, putting money up and knowing how much you will have, and then understanding when do you want to take Social Security and what benefits are the company that you're working for has. If one company has a pension plan and one company does not, I probably want to go with that company that's a pension plan, right? So looking at opportunities as you go out as an employer, what are they offering you? Are they giving you a higher match? Those are questions that I would ask myself before I take that job if I had other options.
Okay. And so then how should families think about retirement planning when healthcare costs, inflation, and longevity are all major concerns?
Yeah, we haven't really talked about that, Dion, but it's important. First of all, The government would take care of you don't have any money. But we want to be in a position that we have money, so we had to protect that money and make sure that we're okay. The number one thing that will wipe out everything that we've done is health care. And health care continues to go up. Hopefully we don't tweak Medicare, but there's things brewing now that we have to worry about. Medicare starts at 65. That's another retirement date that you can shoot for. If you can't make 67, which is full Social Security, I tell people around 65, you get about 89% of your Social Security. You decide to take it. There's still a cap on how much you can make, but at least you get about 89%. Then Medicare kicks in, so hopefully that helps with your medical costs. But medical costs can be very expensive, so I do recommend looking at sometimes long-term care, depending on your budget. That is a policy that will protect you if something was to happen to you, and it's called ADLs, activities of daily living, eating, bathing, dressing, toileting, continence, or transfer. If two of the six occur, you can use that long-term care policy to get better, and that's vital. So there's policies out there, whether it's critical care, but I love long-term care to kind of protect your wealth. As one of the things that you can look at, and you can also put that in an insurance policy also. So there's different ways you can do traditional long-term care, you could do a hybrid, or you can have an insurance policy that has a long-term care rider in it. But that's something that you can look at to protect you in case something happened medically.
Okay. All right. That's good information. So, what do you think a strong retirement plan gives people emotionally, not just financially?
Well, you talked about it earlier, Dean, right? We talked about Floyd. I didn't start early. I should have started early, right? It gives you a sense of security, a freedom. You feel, when people, when I talk to people and they feel like they're secure in their retirement, they feel like they can take that vacation, they can take that trip and don't have to worry about it now. We want that financial freedom, and that's important for all of us. We want to understand that, you know what, our family is going to be protected, and I can watch over my kids, and I can do the things that I want to do, because my kids don't have to watch over me at a later age. For those who have kids, that's important. So I love having that financial freedom. I think it's important, and that feel good is real. So the earlier we start, the more grounded we are, the more we understand, how it works, the better we feel. And less stress we feel, which is important, less stress we feel during our lifetime.
Yeah, I think people don't realize how fast that time goes by. So, but thank you, Floyd. So, as we can gather, the strongest retirement plans don't just create financial security, they create confidence, flexibility, and peace of mind. After the break, we'll discuss legacy and how families can prepare future generations for lasting success. Welcome back to Guided Legacy. I'm continuing my conversation with Floyd Gant, and now we're turning our attention to one of the most meaningful aspects of planning. That's legacy. Many families think of legacy as assets, investments, or inheritances. But true legacy often includes values, preparation, responsibility, and opportunity. A well-designed legacy plan helps families preserve not only financial resources, but also the principles that guide future generations. So, Floyd, when you work with families who want to leave something meaningful behind, how do you help them define what legacy actually means?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Dion. Thank you. I believe in legacy. Everybody does not believe in legacy. A lot of my clients may come to me and say, "Floyd, this money, I want to take all of it out the day I pass away." Of course, we don't know when we're going to pass away, but you do have that individuals who say, "Floyd, I'm not interested in the legacy part." But I think it's vital. You think about it. You worked hard for this money, but it may be people in your life that you want to leave it to. Maybe organizations that you want to leave it for that you believe in. So that's important. Think about your beneficiary. and how you can leave something that they've never had before, and they can start off a lot better than you at that time. And when I think about that, there's ways we can go about doing that. Not only your beneficiaries setting up beneficiaries for individuals, but there's other ways of leaving money for people, such as life insurance. So you can actually have a legacy life insurance policy that you leave for other individuals that would go to them tax-free, especially if you have a large IRA. This is important. This is something you can start doing. You don't want, if you leave a child an IRA, they have 10 years through the Secure Act to take that money out. But you can start taking that money out and convert it into the Roth during your lifetime, making it tax-free, right? Taking it out, put it into maybe a Roth IRA from an IRA account. And also you can say, Floyd, I want to buy an insurance policy, because if I leave if I leave money for them, I don't want them to have this huge 401k slash IRA that they had to pay money and taxes on. I'm gonna put money into an insurance policy because they'll be able to pull that money out when I pass away. Don't forget your death benefit is tax free. So when you think about legacy and leaving people, there's strategies to it to do it the best and most efficient way. A lot of times we have all our money in an IRA account, and remember, if that child is working and they receive 1 million, 2 million, 500,000, 3 million, they have to take that money out in 10 years. And that's a lot of money to take out in 10 years, especially if they have a job and they're taking that money out and the income that comes out. So a lot of times we may take some of that money early through conversions for legacy, or we may add a what life insurance policy and start buying one now so they can have money tax-free and start depleting our IRA while we live. So there's strategies to it, but I do believe legacy is vital.
Okay. And so why is wealth transfer about more than assets, accounts, or investment balances?
Okay, why does wealth transfer? Say it again, Dion.
Why is wealth transfer about more than just your assets, accounts, or your investment balances?
You know, your family name, the people you have in your life that you love, the loved ones, they all, you worked hard. They all want to be a part of who you are. They all want to understand your legacy. When I think about who, what did you live for? One of the things we look at as far as a trust is concerned, the people in your life, how do you want to leave that money for them? How do you want them to spend that money? Those are things that you can set up. It's kind of like you can talk beyond your life. And I think that's vital. You live this certain life. What do you want to be known for when you leave this earth? That is important. I think you should always give people a helping hand, right? Because a lot of times we did not receive that. Maybe people in our life, when we were around, we may not have received something from someone else, but to leave someone else, whether it's asset, whether it's something you care about them, a message you tell them, I think is more than vital so they can carry on some of the beliefs that you had during your lifetime.
Yeah, and I think educating them too can be important. You don't want them to blow what you spent your lifetime saving. So,
Well, you think about that, DR, just quickly, you got to be careful who the beneficiaries are, right? And that is vital too. And that's decisions you need to make. And that comes to your wheelhouse, your trustee, right? And we talk about how important a trustee is, and it has a definition for trustees when we talk about it, and that's a person that is responsible, fiscally responsible. And that's some of the things that we talk about that you have to make sure that you leave in and make sure the person is responsible that you're leaving it for.
And so how do you think parents and grandparents, how can they prepare the next generation to receive responsibility and not just inheritance?
Yeah, you know, I think it starts at the dinner table. You know, you're talking about some of the basics, right? We need to understand the value of money. Unfortunately, people, I've had when people receive money and they're not doing nothing in their life, the easiest way for them to spend money is to receive other people money. So we need to understand. I've had plenty of people that receive money and have spent money within it could be 100,000, 300, 400,000. They spend that money in 2 to 5 years. So they need to understand the value, and that starts at the beginning. Understanding the individual, talking to that individual, talking about responsibility, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a parent, you have to sit that person down and you have to talk about it. Many times we don't talk about finances at the dinner table, and I think it starts there. I think understanding some of the basics, understanding you should be doing your 401k Roth, talking about things that we should be investing in, and talk about how we want to grow our money in the future. Having those conversations is important. I think it starts at home. Beneficiary is important, but leaving money is important. Having strategies of leaving money, but if you're leaving it to an individual who's not responsible, they will blow that money in, and you worked hard for it. So I think to have those conversations early and identifying the people that you believe would carry on some of your beliefs, I think is important.
Okay. And so what mistakes do you think can create confusion, conflict, or missed opportunity when families avoid legacy conversations?
That's a tough one because, we have loved ones that we want to leave money for all the time, people that are in our family. But if they're not responsible, then is that the right way to do it? One of the conversations I have in my office is when you may have three or four kids, but at one child, either it could be special needs or they're just not functioning correct in society. They may be not doing the right thing, or maybe you don't believe they're doing the right thing. How should you leave it? Should I split this pie evenly, or should I leave it with someone who I think is responsible and tell them to kind of administer it? And then if they administer it, how would their other brother or sister feel? Those are the conversations we need to have now, because you don't want an individual receiving money and blowing it or not taking advantage of the blessings that you left behind. So that's why it's vital to sit your kids, sit your nieces, nephews, whoever that you may be leaving a legacy for, and have those conversations on how important it is and how you wanted to structure before you leave this earth. And I think you work on that particular department too, Dion, with different trusts and different things. And that's a conversation that a person like you will have with individuals. But I think it's vital for those conversations as far as how do you want to leave the money and what do you expect from that individual before you leave this earth. So that conversation needs to be had at that time, and tell them your expectations you move and how and what you believe in and how you want to be remembered, and hopefully they do what they need to do. Now you can't come back after you pass away, but you do want to have those conversations with those individuals while you're around.
Yeah, and I think you made a key point because, in families, you have several children, they are not all the same. They don't handle responsibilities the same. And so with your planning, you've got to think about each one individually. I think you made a really key point there.
And
So,
yeah, just to talk about that, just to say that again, it's important, right? And you see that all the time. Identify some of the kids who you think responsible, and then we go to a person like yourself, Deion, and kind of you put the paperwork together. But that's something we do in the office all the time. And I'd say everybody's not the same. And out of four kids, you may have one child that's not doing the thing that you want them to do, and you need to think of that about that before you when you talk about legacy.
right, exactly. And think about who's going to be in charge of ushering it through. So,
It's tough.
how can financial planning help families pass down values, discipline, and opportunity?
Yeah, great question. If you think about financial planning, if we start, and I believe this, I actually think we should talk about companies. We should talk about salaries that we make at the dinner table, right? No more hiding that, right? We should talk about businesses. But as we think about passing it down by us having conversations, by us being disciplined in what we're doing, creating a family that kind of understands some of the basics, then we kind of live in that moment, right? If we tell our kids, I expect this from you, I expect you to have a budget, I want to maybe I give you money, but you only can spend it this way. There's a card out there we give our little girl that she gets so much money every week, but she has to do certain things, and she only can spend a certain way. She has to be responsible. Teaching people to be responsible early, I think, is key. Letting them understand that what you expect from them and how you should budget and how you should spend. You don't want to spend more than you make. You understand that if you're a spiritual person, you may want to give 10% to the church, but you also give 10% to yourself. So that's 80% or 70% of the money you're living off of after FICA, after you paid off your medical and your health insurance and stuff. So you got to understand that you need to live off that money, but you also got to put money down in the future. Teach those principles early. We have to teach those principles early so they will have that instilled inside of them, and then they would carry on that tradition. It's to me, it's not about how much you make a lot of times. It's the life you live and understanding the principles you have. Because I can have somebody making 300,000 but not save, and a person making 100,000 save all the time. So it's understanding the principles that somebody have, and that starts at home.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. So, before we leave, the greatest legacies often combine preparation, communication, and intentionality. So we're going to take one final break, and when we return, we'll discuss wealth, community leadership, and the broader impact of financial stewardship. Stay connected to Guided Legacy and every Now Media TV favorite, streaming live and on demand through the Now Media TV platform. As we conclude today's conversation with Floyd Gant, I want to focus on something larger than personal financial success, and that's purpose. Floyd's commitment extends beyond his work as a financial advisor. Through organizations including the 100 Black Men of South Metro Atlanta, All Grown Up Incorporated, and the Gant Foundation, he has dedicated significant time to leadership, mentorship, and community service. Today, we'll discuss how financial planning can become a tool for creating lasting impact. So, Floyd, your work extends beyond financial advising into community leadership through your various organizations, including the 100 Black Men of South Atlanta, All Grown Up Incorporated, and the Gant Foundation. How has service shaped the way you think about wealth?
Yeah, thank you, Dion. And, you know, if we talk about money, we talk about saving money and how money works. You need to give back to the people, I believe. One of the things that I found rewarding is giving to back to people, understanding the basics. I call it the basis of finance out there. Through the 100 Black Men, I've taught the financial literacy. I taught the young men between the grades of 9th through 12th. I run a stock game every year, and we have a competition, a national competition, and with all the other organizations through the 100 Black Men, and we're ranked in the top three out of last 18 years, I think 16 of those years, top three. And just teaching them the basis of investing, right? That's important because they have another chapter in their life. And in order for us to make money, we need to invest at early ages. Started the Gant Foundation through my family, in which we meet on the fifth Sunday, and we talk about things that we could do as a family. We do two charitable events every year helping others, and we raise money. Each family member gets money, and we invest that money for future things. And we have quite a large budget because we've had that particular foundation for over 19 years, which each family member, each household is required to give a certain amount. And at the end of the end of that, we give scholarships. If you're part of our foundation, we give scholarships to people who are graduated high school for college. So we're proud of ourselves in that. I believe that we have to step forward. It starts with money. It starts understanding the finances in this world and letting people understand some of the basics. Everyone wants to make finance a very difficult subject. It's not a difficult subject. We have to understand the basics. We understand how we put up money, and if we can understand how we put up money, then we could be well off in our near future. And I think that's vital. And that's why we talk about giving back through organizations and through different charitable events as we reach out to people.
Yeah, I agree with you there, Floyd, and especially what you're talking about starting young and that financial education you're doing with the younger people. My parents grew up really poor, and they did very, very well. But my father took a finance class in high school, and that's why he was so good with his practice and building his retirement. He insisted that all of his partners did. And even at his funeral, there was another physician who said, you know, if Duckett hadn't told me to stop wearing my money on my back, you know, I would have never been able to retire. So I think you make some really good points there. And, you know, we don't talk to the younger people about the money, like you said, and it has to start younger. So why is financial education so important for families and communities that want to build long-term stability?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people come to my office and they don't come to my office. And one of the reasons they don't come, I don't have any money. Well, how much money do you need for basic financial understanding? We need to understand that it's not about the amount of money you make. It's about understanding some of the basics that we don't get taken advantage of, these title loans, these things that we have in certain neighborhoods that will take advantage with high interest rates. We need to understand credit, right? Credit reports, and how do we start maybe just putting in a power bill and paying it on time and a water bill so we can have better credit when we apply for our car loan. All these add up to finance, because the more you have in your pocket as discretionary income, the more you can put in a 401k or Roth IRA. But if you have bad credit, you're paying higher loans for your house, you're paying higher loans for your car, and those can take away from your buying power. So it starts at an early age, and sometimes we get credit cards in college. And we don't pay that bill, we start out with bad credit, and then we kind of go downhill from there. So the basics are important. It separates those who have and those who do not have. The most important thing you can look at is having a foundation, understand the basics. I've seen people that make less than other people, but when they retire, they have more because they live within the budget. They live within their means, they may call it. Social network is hard for people. It influences a lot of people to live beyond their means or to pretend they're living beyond their means and try to influence you. And you have to pull yourself away and understand who you are and feel good about yourself. And it starts with the budgeting and putting money up. That helps you to build a confidence that you can feel good about yourself as you move forward.
Yeah, and that whole millionaire next door thing, because I work with a lot of people who, you know, when you're doing your planning, you have to do an inventory of what you have. And when they sit down, right, they don't even realize, you know, a lot of people of modest means have paid for their house and accumulated, you know, over $1 million. They're like, I didn't know I had that much. So yeah, I think what you're saying is absolutely right and important.
I have a client we talk about, and I can't say what they're just regular people in the society. Maybe they worked on the bus as a bus driver. Maybe they did this, and you would say, and you say, Floyd, they got $1 million. Yes, because they live with means. They don't want to go out there and do the flashy things. They don't do that, and they're perfectly fine and they're happy. Mm-hmm. And I love those clients that come in and save. And then you have another person who spends, makes $500,000, but have all three kids sitting in the top private school in Georgia and have the fanciest house and the car, and barely can put up for their 401k. And those are the things we look at. I tell people, you need to live during your lifetime, but you should be fiscally responsible, as the Lord tells you, during your lifetime also. And that means putting up money for your future. And you have to understand, you cannot live off 100% of your paycheck. You have to put something up for yourself. And we talked about the 10%, but you need to do that. There's a budgeting out there. I want to say it's 50, 30, and 20 rule. And I want to say 50% goes to your basic needs of what you need in your life. 30% goes to your entertainment and everything. And 20% goes to your investments and retirement planning. So 50, 30, and 20 rule. A lot of people live off that rule. That's something you think about. But you have to have a rule out there. And that's 50% of your income goes to your basic expenses, apartment and a house or whatever. 30% goes to you enjoying things, traveling, everything. And 20% goes to your retirement planning. And you can flip that. You can do 30% retirement planning and 20% in your enjoyment as far as traveling and all that. But you need to have a rule set in place, a budget and a rule that's important to you.
I think that's really good. Yep. And so what financial habits or mindsets do you wish more young professionals learned earlier in life?
Yeah, a great question. Just understanding we don't have to make money quick. You know, I think we all have that, but now it's accelerated because of the social network. And I don't want to banned and beat up social network, but France just outlawed social network to the age of 18.
I saw
It's
that.
hard for you. It's hard for young people. They think, and I talk to a lot of them, and a lot of my young people who are here that 20 to 24 to 30, they old souls. They believe in saving for the long run. But a lot of people who are not my clients, they want to go into certain investments, whether it's a currency, whether it was some kind of exchange, but it's always something flashy, it's something quick. It's I'm going to make this money in the next year or 6 months. It's not understanding the true companies, the big companies, the big technology companies. Those are the ways to go. Long term, those companies are going to be around. Build instead of trying to make the money overnight. If you start early, the compounding, the things that grow, you will be okay at 40, 50. But don't think you can make your money in 2 years, because just as quick as you're making in 2 years, you can lose it in the next 2 years. So
Exactly.
I believe in a
Exactly.
long strategy, and too many young people believe in short reward, and we have to get away from that. And remember, people, the people you see on the internet, a lot of that's not real. A lot of that's not real. These people are playing an image, and we have to understand that that image is not true for many of us. And we had the same image when we were young, Dion. It just was in a different form. Those people came in the car. Maybe they were doing something that was illegal, and they came into with flashy things. Now people do things on the internet, and they tell you they're doing certain things, but are they really?
And so I've got one last question for you, Floyd. So when you think about the legacy that you're building personally and professionally, what do you hope people take away from your example?
I have a family foundation that I started, and I'm proud of it. And we meet every fifth Sunday, and it has my cousins, has my parents, and my uncles and aunts. And we were having a meeting not too long on our fifth Sunday, because we usually go on a retreat every year, and we talk about finances and talk about things. So it's just not a it's not a family reunion. It's a retreat where we try to empower ourselves. And one of my cousins said, "I want to remember that I did good in this lifetime." That's what his thing was. We were going around the table talking about what do you want to be remembered for? And I thought about that. He said, "I just want to remember for all the, I just remember that I did good, and I wanted people to do well in this society." And I thought about that. I want my kids to remember me for watching over them and guiding them through their life. And I want people to remember me in society for doing well. I don't know why I'm getting emotional about this. I'm thinking about it, but I do want people to remember that. I want people to succeed in society, that I gave back, that I try to help as many people I could through finances. And I helped as many as I could through what we're doing, Dion, whether it's estate planning, whether it's financial planning, but just understanding the basics. That means people who don't have money. I help people. I help not a lot of nonprofits. I help a some place called Christian Community, which is not too far from here. And those kids are runaways, and I help them with budgeting and different things. I meet with them 2 times a year. Just helping those people in society who may not have it, and helping those people that do have it so they can extend it and live and leave that legacy. And hopefully they remember me as a person that reached out across the board, no matter what color, no matter who you are, whether you have money or didn't have money, and I cared about those people, and I wanted those people to succeed.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. And this has been a great conversation. So most importantly, or not most importantly, but very important, Floyd, if our audience would like to learn more about your work and connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to give you the number, and I'm going to give you the address, but I'm located in Fayetteville, Georgia. So you look up Floyd Gant, Floyd Gantt. My office number is 770-461-2991. You can always call the office. I got two great people that work for me, Ronnie and Natasha Brown. Those are my teammates. Those individuals will watch over you and set a Zoom appointment. I'll talk to you about what you have and get an answer, ask you a few questions. But feel free to reach out to me again. Office number is 770-461-2991. You don't have to do an office visit, but if you're in the area, I'm located in Fayetteville, Georgia. If you look my name up in Fayetteville, Georgia. Thank you.
All right. Well, we want to thank Floyd Gant for joining us and sharing his insight in financial readiness, retirement planning, legacy building, and community impact. At Guided Legacy, on our Guided Legacy program with Duckett Law, we believe that planning is one of the most meaningful acts of love we can offer our families. When we prepare thoughtfully, communicate openly, and make informed decisions, we create a legacy that extends far beyond financial assets. And to everyone watching, remember, the future doesn't simply happen. It is shaped by the decisions we make today. Thank you, Floyd, for joining us.